Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian Mark Fernandez talks about dating a stripper.
One night I went to see her at work and I almost got my ass beat because she did this thing that's kind of unprecedented, right? She dances a whole dance just to me. She has me sit on the stage, the corner of the main stage, and she plays a song that was a special song from her to me, which was Take My Breath Away by Berlin. And she dances the entire song to that corner of the bar where I was and ignores 50 sailors around the other side. All these sailors are looking at me like, who the fuck is this guy that she's giving all her attention just to me? You know what I mean? I got a lot of dirty looks and it was uncomfortable.
Today on the show, comedian Mark Fernandez shares a story about dating a stripper and then breaking up with the stripper. Happy New Year. Stay close.
Hey guys, this is Mark Fernandez and you're listening to Story.
My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. You know, Mark, this is the last show of the decade. And you know, I started this show at the beginning of the decade.
Is that right?
Yeah, 2010. The first show was actually went up July 10th with our friend Sharon Houston.
Oh, okay.
That was the very first episode. But I came up with a concept in March of 2010. I remember it so specifically.
Huh.
So we're coming up on our 10th anniversary, and you, my friend, are the 597th guest.
Wow, 597, and I'm the last one of the decade.
The last one of the decade.
It's an honor.
It's a big deal. It's super exciting, and I'm super glad you're here. Now listen, you guys, I hope you enjoyed the show last week with psychic medium Audrey Hope. Now, I don't have a lot of psychic mediums on the show. Let's say I've had none. This woman, her name was Audrey Hope, and she's on the show, and she's talking about how she gets rid of hauntings out of people's houses by using her clairvoyant abilities.
Okay.
And it was super interesting, and we learned a lot about the difference between things like, okay, take all these words into account. Here we go.
Okay.
Psychic, medium, clairvoyant, soul provider. There's a lot of words, and I thought they were all the same, but they're not.
And she was able to clarify that
and
for you.
And she clarified that for us. Anyway, super entertaining show. So go back, you guys. Listen to Audrey Hope last week. But not today, because today I'm here with comedian Mark Fernandez. And here's what I have to say about you, Mark Fernandez.
Yeah.
How can you not have been on this show yet?
I don't know. We've known each other for 22 years.
22 years.
I moved here. I think we moved here the same year, 1997.
97,
yep.
Yes.
I moved here in August of 97.
And I moved here August of 97.
Is that right?
Yes. August
and the very 17th. First open mic I ever went to in Los Angeles was in Glendale at the Stage Left Coffee House. You hosted.
That I hosted, yep. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
It's crazy.
You know who used to go to that open mic also was Ken, what's his name, Ken Jeong?
Ken Jeong, sure. A lot of people we know and
that
we're still friends with today.
I know.
Ken Jeong, Hannes Finney, your old friend Hannes Finney.
But I'm talking about now people that are stars.
Oh, yeah. Hannes is a star?
Well, I mean, my point is
I get it. But yeah, Ken Jeong.
It is interesting who we started with and then when you see where people are, it's
quite astounding. Well, we were cruising around in the scene around that time with people like Zach Galifianakis and Maria Bamford and Chelsea Handler.
Of
I remember
course.
Doing shows with Chelsea Handler at the LA Cabaret in Encino.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then here we are. And I remember taking a stand-up class with Mark Lano. I remember him saying how, you know, he was friends with David Letterman and Jay Leno and all these guys. And I was kind of like, not impressed by that, but I was sort of like, wow, that's incredible. And he goes, oh, no, you know all those people now, too. You just don't know they're going to be big.
Right. That's true, right? This business, you don't know. That's one of the things that's been difficult for a lot of people I know in this business is we're all striving for the same thing, but it's impossible to know who the bitch goddess of show business puts her graces on. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a group of people that we all came up with, and someone got famous, and we're like, that guy?
Yeah.
How does show business pick that guy? You just right. never know. But you'll go crazy if you keep trying to think about stuff like that.
And it's not really a competition, is it?
No. The only thing we have complete control over is our own funny, our own career. And that's all we should worry about. That's what I've come to after being here 22 years.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like there is a competition as to there's only so many late night show hosts. Like there's 7 male, white males and 1 female.
Right.
So that, unfortunately...
Well, there's 2 now, right?
Who are the 2?
Samantha Bee and Lily Singh.
Oh, that's true. Okay, there you go. I do love Samantha Bee so much.
She's awesome.
But Chelsea hit it so big.
Right.
And now, what I find fascinating about Chelsea's career is she has been able to adapt and change and really pick and choose projects that she wants to do. So now, like, when I listen to her shows and her podcasts and... it's like what she really wants to do. Like her podcast, I think she only did like 7 or 8 because she's like, okay, I did it. I did what I wanted to do. Yeah. Moving on, which right. I'm so impressed by that.
She got to that status, right?
Yeah.
Where she gets audiences and people come to see her and listen to her and what she has to say. And you and I, you know, we're still in there. We're still in the mix, but we spent a lot of time in our careers performing for people who didn't come to see us, who don't know who we are. We're just in the show.
Right.
And we strive to get to where people like Chelsea are, or my friend Joe Coy, who was gracious enough to have me open for him a couple months ago at the Bray Improv. You know what I mean? There were 600 people there to see him. I was lucky enough to be in that room.
How many minutes did you do?
10.
So you opened up and did 10 minutes for Joe Coy. That was a big deal.
Yeah, it was huge. It was.
And as a comedian, I mean, you've been a comedian all these years. It's like, you know, I mean, you see people moving on. You see people doing really incredible things. Does it mean they're funnier?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
If you see a lot of interviews with people in this business who have achieved goals, whatever goals they are, whatever
certain
success
heights,
they have, right? Persistence is the key word, and it's a word I hear a lot in interviews with those people. So that's what I was taught. My dad gave me a word before I moved here, a Filipino word, a Tagalog word. I think the word is sigasig, which means persistence, which means persevere. Oh, it means persevere is what it means.
Oh, I love that.
And that's all I can do. You know
you
what I mean?
You should get that tattooed.
It's on my leg.
You lie.
Nope.
You lie.
It's on my leg in Filipino script.
Where on your leg? Your calf?
On my calf.
I've played sports with you.
I'll show it to you when
calves.
We play pickleball.
Oh, you'll show me. Oh, you will show me.
Yeah.
So anyway, you guys, I'm here tonight with Mark Fernandez, and I'm super excited to hear your story. The topic is dating a stripper.
Yep, dating a stripper.
And I'm excited about that. I know a stripper, and she's also a comedian. And she's super friendly and super kind and super gentle. And it just happens to be that, you know, she had some bad stuff go down as a teenager. And I think that might have been what flipped her, you know, to go on stage to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know what to say. She's a stripper, but she's a great girl.
I bartended in a strip club years and years ago.
Yeah.
And there are all kinds of people who do that job.
Yeah.
There were women there who were... not great women, who were drug addicted, and then there was a woman who was putting her child through Catholic school because she made good money doing what she was doing.
Yeah, she made good money. It's hard to deny the money.
No,
My girlfriend, she says that people say that when she's dancing, you know, like why does she have such a bitchy look on her face? And she's like, because first of all, nobody's looking at my face, and they don't care.
Right.
And what would I be smiling about dancing naked in front of these strangers? Why would that make me smile? So she's kind of like, what part of her funny is that she's jaded about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she gets it. She gets the big picture. She gets the commodity she has is her body and the way she can move it or whatever.
Sure.
But other than that, like, she's as smart as anybody I know.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience. Now, I did go to a strip club once with our friend Bobby Lee.
Really?
Because Bobby Lee, who's a comedian, another one of those guys who made it pretty big.
Yeah.
He's doing very well.
I worked with him at the Comedy Store in La Jolla for many years.
Many years. Yeah. I've been in the Comedy Store with him in La Jolla. In fact, the night we did the Comedy Store in La Jolla, I think it was after the gig, we had to go to this strip club because he was the judge of a contest.
Oh, nice.
Of like a, you know, a dancer contest or whatever. And I was so naive. I was so green. Just got to LA from Pittsburgh. I mean, I'm in my early 30s, but yet still so naive to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
that at the strip club. This one girl kept coming over to me and talking to me and being so nice. And I was like, she's so nice. I can't, you know, she's just, she's so cool. I love that girl, Bobby. You should vote for her. And Bobby's like, she just wants to know if you want a lap dance.
Yeah.
I'm like, really?
Yeah. That's the classic, the classic move in strip clubs for people who haven't been in there before. Mostly usually dudes. Where they go away from that situation thinking, I think she really likes me.
Well,
like, that's the same thing. I'm that's thinking, what she was doing to you.
I know, but I guess I'm thinking like at that time I wasn't thinking like, oh well, of course a woman could enjoy another woman's dancing moves or whatever. But I just kept thinking like, no, I think she really wants to be friends, and yeah. I think maybe she doesn't have friends here, and she sees me, I'm a good person.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Turns out, she didn't want to be my friend.
Oh.
I know. Nope. Anyway, I'm anxious to hear your story because I can't imagine. I mean, it's not that I can't imagine, but I think it would be somewhat hard as a male to know that your girlfriend or the person that you're actually sleeping with is doing that in front of other guys to get them to look at her. I mean, it's got to be a complicated situation where you have to stand back and be like, that's separate from what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a job. It's a job, bottom line, right?
Yeah.
And I've dated two strippers, actually, and one person, two. The second one, it wasn't as interesting a story as this one. And one porn star, one porn performer I dated. That's another story for another time.
So the title of tonight's episode is Dating a Stripper, but right. It could be Dating Working Girls.
It could be that, for sure.
Well, I am super excited to hear your story. But before we get to Mark's story, I did want to remind you guys that you can follow me over on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy, of course. Also follow Story Smash on Instagram at Story Smash, because that's where I have all the great photos of the game show, which is going so well, Mark. You must play.
I've seen it several times. It's fantastic, and I want to play,
for sure.
We
just finished our 30th show in a row.
Wow.
And that ain't nothing in this town, because not only did the Improv book me 30 times, but I showed up every month, and so there hasn't even been one month missed. So I'm super proud of the show, hoping that it gets to another level soon enough. I've got a show coming up January 25th. February 29th, you don't hear that date often.
Oh, yeah, it's a leap year.
And that's this year. Story Smash will be at the Improv on those dates. So you guys look for me there. And again, follow Story Smash on Instagram, because first of all, I need more followers. I don't know why, but they say I do, so I do. And also, that is where you get the most action photos ever on Story Smash.
Instagram. On the Instagram.
Yeah. In other words, it's not cluttered with anything else. There's no shots of my cat. It's no pictures of me playing tennis. It's right. Just the game show.
Right.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And you, Mark Fernandez, you're over there on Twitter and Instagram as well at Fernagio, which is like you said, the Bellagio.
Like the Bellagio, but it's Fernagio.
Fernagio.
Yeah. Fernagio. Yeah, hey, Fernagio.
But let me ask you this. But Fernandez is, because you're part Filipino.
Yeah, I'm a mutt, basically. My mom's dad, full Filipino. My dad's mom, full Filipino. But my mom's mom was British and Chinese.
Interesting.
Had red hair and green eyes.
Oh, my gosh.
And my dad's dad was Filipino, Spanish, and German. So I'm a mutt, but I identify Filipino
growing
up.
Have you been to the Philippines?
Just once. We were stationed in Japan. My dad was in the Navy.
Yeah.
We were stationed in Japan.
In Okinawa or something?
In a little small town called Sasebo.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way back from Japan to the States, a lot of military families move around.
Sure, sure.
We moved once for 3 years, and then that was it. And on the way back from Japan, we stopped in the Philippines, and I got to meet my grandma for the first and only time.
Wow.
On my dad's side.
She must have been so excited.
She was awesome. She was fantastic. It was a beautiful house, and there was always... This is what I remember. I was only 8 at the time, but I always remember you woke up and you smelled... Breakfast was always in the air. It was the house was always warm, and she was always... there.
That's nice.
With hot chocolate and toast, and it's just fantastic.
And the Filipino culture only uses forks and spoons. Is that true?
Yes, we learned that a couple of weeks ago.
There are no knives.
No, we eat with a fork and a spoon. We pull apart the meat. But the reason for that, I think, is that the way we prepare our foods is that the meat is very tender, so there's no need for a knife.
That's just the funniest thing. So a couple of weeks ago, we did this gig together called The Fork and Spoon.
Right.
At this Filipino place.
Yep.
And I just was just like, huh, I wonder why it's called Fork and Spoon. And then we sit down, and there's only a fork and a spoon at the table. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, so you push with the fork into the spoon. That's how we eat.
Did you know in Thailand that they eat with regular forks and spoons? They don't use chopsticks in Thailand.
Is that right?
If you want chopsticks in Thailand, that's like an extra thing. That's a different thing. You can ask. They might give them to you, but it's not coming with a meal.
I've never been.
It's not the way it goes. Well, listen, there's a lot of Asian countries, and there's a lot to learn.
There are.
And I think we all know this.
Yes.
All right, you guys, let's get to Mark's story. Mark Fernandez, you guys, he's a stand-up comedian who, like I said, I've known for over 20 years. And you play all the major clubs here in Los Angeles. And you've got a couple of great shows coming up. One on January 8th at the Tickled Show in Montrose.
Yep.
And at the Copper Still on January 15th. And you're always working. You're always out. You keep moving forward.
Yep, gotta move.
And I admire you. I really do.
What? That's reciprocated. I admire you too because you haven't stopped either.
Yeah,
you keep doing that. We just keep on doing what we do. That's what we have to do. But
also, it's like what I'm doing, I really enjoy. So to stop would be to say I'm going to stop doing something I like to do.
Right.
Because I think the goal in life is to get paid for what you like to do. So it's like you want to do fruitful labor. So that you're actually getting compensated for maybe why you're here on Earth, like the purpose and all that.
Sure.
So even though I'm not making enough money doing what I'm doing, I cling to it because it's what.
But you enjoy what you're doing, right? Are we any more happy when we're on stage telling, making people laugh? You know what I mean?
That's the best place.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once you're up on stage with a microphone, I mean, where's the money come in? You know what I mean? Like, in other words, it doesn't matter if you have money or you don't. You get the same rush.
Nope, totally.
Interesting.
Yep.
You guys can find Mark over there on Twitter and also Instagram at Fernagio. I'm going to spell it because I'm a giver.
Yeah.
F-E-R-N. A lot of people call you Fern anyway.
They do. All my friends call me Fern.
Yeah. And then A-G-G-I-O.
Yep.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Mark Fernandez.
Hi, everybody.
Yay.
So here's the story. So the year was 1988 and I was 26 years old and I was going to college at San Diego State.
Wait, you were still in college at 26?
I liked college that much. That I went for a very long time. I never graduated, by the way. I got kicked out of every major college in San Diego, by the way.
Why?
Just because I wasn't a good student. I enjoyed being there. I went to San Diego State. I went to UCSD also. But at San Diego State, I scheduled my classes around soap operas because I knew all the hot girls were going to be in the student center between 11 and 3. So Young and the Restless, All My Children, One Life to Live, and the General Hospital. So I didn't have any classes from 11 to 2. So I was a crappy student, but I had fun. So, and San Diego State, number one party school, according to Playboy in 1988. So
yeah,
that's what I did.
Right.
I was a telecommunications major, but I mean, I guess that kind of plays into what we do now.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I was also working as a doorman and an MC at the Comedy Store in La Jolla.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just trying to figure stuff out, right? I was also bartending at one of the highest volume top 40 dance clubs in San Diego, which was a club called Confetti. Huge, huge chain. They had clubs all over the place. And it was, you know, 88. So Rick Astley, NXS, George Michael, big time.
That's great.
Yeah,
I love
it. That was happening out there. I mean, we had good money as bartenders. And in 88, the movie Cocktail came out. So we're big deals, right? We're flipping bottles. We're blowing flames the length of the bar of 151 rum, and girls are, you know, we had a good time. The girls were throwing their panties at us. It was awesome. So it was a good time to be a bartender, a good time to be a single bartender also. So one night I was working the front bar on a Tuesday. Tuesday was what we called a hip night, which stood for hospitality industry personnel. And people who worked in bars drank cheap. It was dollar drinks if you worked in another bar. So it was a big popular night, and all people from all around from other bars came to our bar, and you know, we took care of them. They were drinking dollar drinks, and then we would go to their bar on another night, and it was fun. We worked 4 nights a week, and we partied the other 3. So I mean, and I was 26, you know, and I was having fun. So it was a Tuesday night, so I'm working the front bar, which is one of the power spots, right? And there's a girl there, beautiful blonde girl, hot blonde girl. And she keeps ordering this drink with a weird name. The name of the drink she ordered was a hot, creamy bush, which is Bushmills Irish Whiskey, Bailey's Irish Cream, and a splash of coffee. She keeps ordering these things. And after about four of them, one of my friends, Brad, he's another bartender, he comes up and he goes, "Hey, Tanya's kind of taking a liking to you." And I go, "Who?" And he goes, the chick that's drinking the hot creamy bushes. I'm like, "Oh, really? That's cool." You know, so I'm chatting her up and talking to her. And I go, "How do you know her?" And he goes, I used to work with her at this place called Racers. Well, Racers is one of the top gentlemen's clubs in San Diego. It's still down there. It's over by, it's in Point Loma, by the military bases. So big popular gentlemen's club in San Diego. And she worked there. She didn't go by Tanya there. She had a professional name, and it was Pantera. By the way, I've changed her name because she still may live down there, and everybody knew her. I mean, her name, everybody knew her name. She was like one of the top exotic dancers in San Diego at that time. That was 1988. So, I mean, she's going to be 50-something by now, but she still may be down there, so I changed her name. So I chat her up, and we end up dating. We ended up starting a date, right? We were going out, and it was fun. It was a good time. She was very cool. There was a problem with, this is going to sound really Seinfeldy, but I hated the sound of her laugh. She had a horrible, high-pitched laugh. It was like a high-pitched, if you took a high-pitched horse whinny and crossed it with another high-pitched horse whinny. That's how awful her laugh was. And so I hated making her laugh because she would, it was just, I can't even do it. I can't even do it. It was just awful. So that's not why I broke up with her. I ended up breaking up with her anyway, but that's not why I broke up with her, but it was one of the reasons. There were several reasons. It just wasn't working out. And so the night I decided to break it off with her,
wait, let's back up 1 second. When did she tell you she was a stripper? I mean, I know that the guy in the bar told you that, but then you're dating her. You like, what was the first date?
Well, she didn't tell me. She I guess she assumed I knew because I knew Brad, and Brad told me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I knew what she did. It never really was like, there never really was a revelatory conversation where she came up and went, "Hey, I'm a stripper, by the way." It was not, no. In fact, one night I went to see her at work, and I almost got my ass beat because she did this thing that's kind of unprecedented, right? She dances a whole dance just to me on the stage, on the main stage. So she has me sit on the stage, the corner of the main stage, and she plays a song that was a special song from her to me, which was Take My Breath Away by Berlin. And she dances the entire song to that corner of the bar where I was and ignores 50 sailors around the other side.
Like it's a bachelor party.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, big military
and this
clientele.
Is a date. You're on a date.
It's not a date. No, this wasn't a date. I just went in to see her at work. I went in with my buddy Jeff, who's an old roommate of mine, one of my best friends, one of the funniest people on the planet. We're in there and we're
so
sitting.
So you
in,
say to Jeff, "Hey, you want to go see my girlfriend naked?"
Exactly.
Wow, that's intense.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I was 26. So she focuses on me the entire time. All these sailors are looking at me like, "Who the fuck is this guy?" That she's giving all her attention just to me, you know what I mean? I got a lot of dirty looks, and it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable. But anyway, so it ended up not working out for me. I was like 26 and working at a high volume bar, like I mentioned before. So I wanted to be single again, and I decided that I was going to break it off with her. So the week that I had decided that, she was getting ready to fly to Acapulco on a photo shoot. She did modeling too. And
like bikini modeling.
Yeah, bikini modeling. Like she was one of her friends was a photographer, and they were doing something like an ad for parasailing or something. They were going to do an ad, and so she was getting ready to go. Well, so the night she's about to go, she comes into my bar and she sits by my bar and she orders. This time she orders a Kahlua, a White Russian is what she ordered. And I didn't tell her. She comes back 4 or 5 drinks later, and she starts to get drunk, and she's not. Some people are happy drunks, and some people get quiet, and she's the sloppy drunk. She was a sloppy drunk, so it was really unbecoming. She just wasn't a graceful drunk. So it was really a bad time for me to do what I was about to do, but I didn't want to be with her anymore, and I was
wait,
like...
Wait, but you're at work.
I'm at work, and she's a customer, and she comes up, it's close to last call, and she comes up and she's, you know, she orders another drink, and we start talking, and I didn't do it the best way. I own up to that. I didn't do it in the best way, but I just said, hey, you know, Tamara, I don't think this is working out. I know you're getting ready to fly to Acapulco, so I think, you know, I'm not going to see you when we get back. I think we should see other people. I don't feel this is working out for me. And she looks at me and she's incredulous. She's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I don't think this is working for me. And she's like, who the fuck are you? I'm like, I don't know. It's just not working. I think I need to be single right now. And she goes, you know, I have men waiting in line wanting to buy me clothes to go out with me. Do you know that? Right. And I'm like, that's great. But I just don't think this is going to work. And she's pissed and she storms off. So last call, she comes up and now she's blotto drunk. She's sloppy, slurring, shit-faced, totally drunk. And she says, I'm leaving. And I go, okay. I go, cool. Make sure you get a cab. There's always cabs outside our bar. Make sure you get a cab home. I want to make sure you get home safely. And she goes, a gentleman would drive me home. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay, fine. Just hang out there. I'll count out my bank, and then I'll drive you home. So that's what happens. I close out my bank. I get my tips. We get in my car. Suzuki Samurai. I had a thing for kitschy, goofy cars. We get in my Suzuki Samurai, and I drive her home. She lives in an area of San Diego, which is beautiful. By the bay, by Mission Bay, it's an area called Crown Point, kind of hoity-toity, but beachy around the bay. And she lives in this beautiful security building right on the water. And so I drive up to right outside her security building, right by the security door. And I say, okay, Tamara, it was, I really had a good time with you, but, you know, have a safe trip and take care. And she goes, a gentleman would walk me to my door. Something, you know, okay. So I turn the car off, I park and turn the car off, and I get out to her side and walk her to the security door. All right, Tamara, see you later. Take care. She says, a gentleman would make sure I got into my apartment. I'm like, all right. So she gives me her keys. I open up the security door, and we go in. We go up the stairs to the next second security door. We go in there. We go down the hallway to her apartment. Now we're outside her apartment. Okay, Tamara, I'm going to go. Have a safe trip. A gentleman would make sure I'm tucked in and safe inside the house. Okay. I open the door, and I walk her to her bedroom, to her bed. She's on her bed, and I'm standing in the doorway of her room. And I went, okay, this is it. I'm going now. And take care. And I turn around to walk out the front door. And this girl tackles me. Oh. She tackles me. She tackles me with the force of a linebacker. I mean, perfect form. She hits me with her shoulder, full front, full brunt. She hits me with her shoulder, lifts me up, and drives me into the ground. And now I'm in the hall. I'm like, oh, my God, what just happened? And I flip around and I look at her. I'm like, what are you doing? And I push her off of me and I bolt for the front door. So I get out the front door of her apartment and I run down the hallway, get out the first security door, run down those stairs, get out the second security door. And now I'm outside in the cold air. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. It's nice and quiet, but behind me, I can hear the first security door slam. And then I hear the another door slam, and then I hear what sounds like someone's thrown a bag of potatoes down the stairs. Boom, 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 boom. I hear a thud, and then I hear her scream. One of the most horrible noises in the middle of a beautiful, quiet morning, 3 a.m. in San Diego. She starts screaming, oh, my God, I broke my ankle. It hurts so bad. I'm like, oh, no, my God, no. I can't do my photo shoot. Oh, my ankle's broken. I'm like, oh, my God. I was almost out of there. And I go back to the security door, and I knock on the door. I go, Tamara, let me in. I can't. My ankle's broken. I hurt so bad. She's screaming. I go, Tamara, open the door. I'll get you back up to your apartment. I can't, it hurts. Finally, after pleading with her, she opens the door. I pick her up. I take her up the stairs to the second security door, go in the second security door, go down the hallway, back to her apartment, bring her into her room, put her on the bed, and I stayed there till she fell asleep, and then I tiptoed the fuck out of there. And I didn't see her again until years later. And I think she married a rich Mexican millionaire dude, but that's the last I saw of her.
Wow. Wait, did you put ice on her foot?
Oh, that's what I think. So the ankle wasn't broken, thankfully. So I'm not a total dick. It wasn't broken, but she had twisted it, but it wasn't broken.
What did it look like? Did you see an injury?
It looks like, have you ever turned an ankle?
Yeah, well,
so,
sure.
So the outside of your ankle has got like a golf ball.
Oh no, I haven't had that, but I hear what you're saying. That's a serious thing.
Yeah, so
thing.
It was swollen. Happened. It was swollen and red for sure, but it wasn't broken, thankfully. And
okay, so how long had you been dating?
At that point, it's about 4 or 5 months.
4 or 5 months is a good amount of time, especially because you're both young and you're both like in the scene.
Yeah,
for sure. So to go out for 4 or 5 months, you've been to her apartment before.
Yeah, a beautiful, beautiful apartment. Everything was white Angora couch.
Who was paying for all that?
Her grandfather paid for everything.
God bless her, man.
Who was probably a customer. They had lots of grandfathers.
I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah. I thought you were serious.
Air quotes, grandfather.
See, I'm such an idiot. I thought you were serious.
No, it definitely was a customer.
I think that what happened here is you shocked her.
For sure.
She had no idea that she could be broken up with like that.
That's what I mean. I don't think anyone had ever broken up with her. That, no. I mean, I was the first one. That's why she freaked out. She's like, who the fuck are you? I'm like, I don't know.
Wow. So how old was she?
She was like 24, 25.
Okay.
Yeah. We were on the same age, yeah.
So do you know if she ever went to Acapulco?
As far as I know, she did. She ended up going, yeah.
And then she comes back, because in a way, it's still a small town. San Diego is a small town. I mean, it's a big city, but it's a small town.
Yeah.
Especially in those beach communities and that bar scene and stuff. I mean, so did she come back around? Did you see her again?
Just years down the road. I didn't see her. She never came back into my bar, when I was there anyway.
So you
and
kinda,
I never went into that strip bar.
You probably got lucky. You probably got lucky in the end.
Could be.
You know?
It could be. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, at that time, it's a long time ago. Did you guys talk about birth control and STDs? Did you do all that, or you don't even bother, or what?
It was the 80s. It was the late 80s.
Yeah, nobody did.
I consider myself pretty lucky, because I got through that time. I got through the mid-80s and through the 90s as a bartender in a high-volume bar without an STD or a child. So I win.
Wow.
I got lucky.
A child as far as you know.
I'm pretty sure.
Good.
That's another. I got another story about that. But I didn't. We didn't use protection. I mean,
I know. It was just a different era.
No, we didn't.
Nobody even asked. Well, yeah, and I think it was like in the 90s. People started asking a lot more about getting tested for AIDS and stuff like that.
Right.
And so I love the way you told the story, like the time stamps you put on it. I love when people tell stories of, like, you know, 20 years ago or whatever. If they tell me the music they were hearing,
right.
Like it really sets the scene. And I really like that you did all that.
Oh,
have you told like other stories before?
Yeah, I've done a couple storytelling shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because I know you're a comedian, but, you know, comedians often leave out a lot of details because there's not time, and it's not funny.
Well, also, too, growing up at which I called a comedy college, the Comedy Store, we were managed by a guy named Fred Burns. He was the manager of the Comedy Store when I was there. Dante was there. Bobby Lee was there.
In
La Jolla. We were taught to get a laugh every 8 seconds because we were the house MCs. So if you didn't get a laugh, we had to set the table, right? So if you didn't get a laugh, you know, every 8 to 10 seconds, then you were failing. And so...
Well, there's different styles of comedy, but for sure, like Jim Coughlin, you know Coughlin, one of our good friends.
Hilarious.
He always says, like, you know, we'll be talking about comedy or whatever, and he'll be like, I don't do it that way. I like make sure I'm saying something funny. And then that sounds like obvious that he would say that, but no, he's dead serious. Every line he says has to have a laugh at the end. I don't have that skill. I mean, in other words, I'm just saying there's other comics who can just be funny because of the way they are. Like Chelsea Handler, great example.
Right.
She's just funny because she's funny.
Right.
It doesn't really matter if she has a punchline. She's funny.
We can only do it the way we do it.
Yeah. It's interesting, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's a good life, being a bartender at 26.
It was a good time.
So fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so when you were dating the stripper, were you guys exclusive with one another?
Yeah.
And then she would say, okay, honey, I'm going to work, and then you're going to the bar, and yeah. I'm going to the strip club. See you at 3.
Yeah, that's kind of what, well, I guess we work similar hours, so, you know.
As a bartender, I don't really think I've ever really interviewed or talked to a bartender. Did you drink on the job or never?
I didn't, but I worked with people who did. I couldn't. I mean, when I first got there, because I got the job bartending right when I was 21. I got lucky. A friend of mine had, I was looking for a job. A friend of mine said, hey, this new franchise bar is coming to San Diego. You should apply there.
Confetti,
right. And I've worked in restaurants, but I'd never bartended. He goes, doesn't matter. You can start as a bar back and work your way up. And within 4 months, I was bartending.
That's
which
great.
Which is awesome. But it led to a lifestyle that I kind of got used to, too, in that I had days off. We had all our days off, so we got to play golf. We played beach volleyball.
What kind of classes? We were still in college at the age of 26. How often were you in school?
You know what? I took a lot of the same classes over and over again. I sucked at college.
Who was paying for your college?
My parents paid for my college the first year I got out of high school at UCSD. I went to UCSD my first year. So my parents paid for that. And it wasn't super bad back in those days. That was 1981, so that was my first year in college. And but when I got kicked out of UCSD, academically disqualified from UCSD, I went to a junior college, San Diego Mesa College, got my grades back up, and then I got accepted at San Diego State, and that's when I went to San Diego State, which was a few years down the line.
And why did you fail out? Where did you fail?
Because I sucked at being.
You tried.
I didn't. Yeah, no. And I took. Creative writing over and over and over again because I liked it and I did. I got A's. The teacher would see me at the beginning of the semester, like, it was like, you again? And I'm like, I like doing this.
It seems like when I look back at college, it's the same. Like, I cheated and I skipped classes and I lied. I did get through in the proper amount of time. When I was 21, I graduated. Boom, bachelor's degree. So I was lucky to get out when I did.
That's great.
But yeah, to think that an 18 or 19-year-old could have the mental facilities to not only feed themselves now and get dressed on their own, but then to go to classes, like, there's just too much responsibility at once, it seems like. Like, how are they possibly, or how could, like, I was so excited to be on my own.
Yeah.
When I was 17. Yeah. Why would I go by that? You know what I mean? Even in the cafeteria, I remember just getting like ice cream, dessert, and like all the sodas. Like, I wouldn't even eat food.
You're providing for yourself. That's a big step.
I know. But I mean, no, who can do that? I'm blown away that anybody can get through right, you know, straight away.
Yeah,
when you're 18, 19.
Kudos to anybody who can. I know I didn't. Like I said, I went for a long time.
So let me ask you, so let's say when she was dancing for you and you're the only one on the stage.
Yeah.
And what did she get down to? Because it wasn't a completely nude club, right?
No. She had bottoms on.
Like bottoms.
Bottoms. What do you call them? I don't know.
Granny panties?
Girls' clothes.
Boxer shorts?
She was wearing capri pants. I don't know. She had a bikini.
I was just saying, like, was that like...
Whatchamacallit?
Like a G-string.
G-string, yeah.
I mean, but that must have been like... I mean, a good feeling, or was that more like, I'm
sure.
Embarrassed being on stage. I don't want to be here on stage. Why is she doing this to me?
That's what it was. Well, it was fine that she was, you know, making eye contact with only me and dancing to only me. And that was fine for a little while until I started getting the dirty looks from the sailors.
Yeah.
All around.
Because the thing is, you're not like in the moment with her. It's not like the two of you can then get whisked away, go to the back, go to another place and be together. It's like she can have this sexy time with you and this eye contact, but then it's going to go away because she has to dance for those guys.
But I think she was being sweet, and it was her way of telling me that I was special. I think that was how she could do that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So let's say that was the first stripper you dated, and then you dated another stripper. I don't want to hear the whole story, but give me something.
It's not. It's nowhere near as. As
but she it was the same club, different club.
Different club, but she was just a young mom, and she was beautiful. Just a young mom who took care of a little girl. She came into another bar I was working at. I was working at a different bar, and she was a regular customer then, and we ended up hitting off.
Yeah.
And the porn star was...
Wait, how long did you date that stripper?
Maybe a year.
And she was normal and not...
She was great. Yeah, we actually...
And then it just didn't work out.
Yeah, it just didn't
Fair
work
enough.
Out.
Fair enough.
But it, yeah, she was great. She was a super cool person and a good mom.
And then you thought, I got to kick it up to another level.
Yeah.
And I'd like to go out with a porn star who literally sleeps with other men.
That one was... I had done a set at the Improv and I noticed this beautiful blonde girl, but not porn star looking blonde girl, just like... She was like she was wearing a sundress. She just looked like a teacher. She was but she kept smiling at me my whole set. I noticed her, and after the show, another comic came up to me and he says, "My roommate's friend thinks you're funny and would like to go out with you." And then he said her name and he goes, "Does that mean anything to you?" I go, "No." And he goes, "Well, she used to work in this industry. She doesn't anymore, but she used to do adult films." And I go, "Oh, so." Immediately, I'm thinking, do I want to go out with a porn person? I mean, there's all kinds of health concerns that would be in my head. And then I thought, when am I going to get this chance again? I mean, I kind of, for my friends, I have to do this.
Take the bullet.
I have to. And I remember being with her in my apartment, and we were doing the thing.
Is the thing sex?
We were having
okay.
sex.
Okay, okay.
We were having the sex.
Just want to be clear.
Yeah, that's how old people call it, right? The sex. We were having
like a noun.
We were having the sex, and I remember when we were doing it, the first thing that comes to my mind was, man, I wish someone was watching me.
That's terrible.
It is terrible.
Now, that porn star, was it before you could go home and Google her?
No. It was rotten. It's a rotten story because... You could Google her. I didn't, but my brother did. And so,
you told your brother, "I'm going out with this porn star. Will you look into her?"
I told him her name, and he Googled her, and he goes, "Check this out, dude!" And then he sends me a clip of her professionally with
one person. Tell me one person.
Yeah, one big person. as soon as I saw that video, I was like, "Oh, that's why she didn't call."
Oh,
because that it was—it's so unfair. This guy.
Yeah. Well, he's a star. He's like a,
he's in
industry.
That. Sure, he's a professional, but
that's why he's hired.
For sure. Good for him.
How long did you date her?
That was another like 4 months, maybe.
A shorter time.
It was shorter time.
Yeah, because that would be hard discussions, I think, to have. You know, like, how was work, honey?
We didn't, yeah, she had actually retired from that portion of the industry and was just doing things like, she was booking cruises. She was booking cruises, come on a cruise with this lady, you could be on a cruise with this famous lady. And with her. Yeah, and people would go on cruises. She wouldn't do anything, but she would just be a host of
the
cruise.
Like an escort.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, do you really believe that?
I don't know. And
yeah, because that's a fine line. And in other words, like, I understand there's a lot of people who are super lonely, and they will hire somebody just to be their companion.
There are porn nerds.
But I know, but I'm saying, like, usually that companion does have expectations.
Oh, sure. Told me.
So she did, or you don't know.
You
got out.
Yeah, I got out. It was.
Have you dated any other sex workers?
No.
Just the two strippers and the one
two
porn
strippers
star.
And the one porn
okay.
star.
Okay. Yeah, honestly, with your life as a bartender and a comedian, it's really not that high. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. That's not that
high. I think it's pretty fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you, we got to wrap it up in a second, but okay, here we are, the end of another decade and the end of another year and all that.
The end of an era on story wording.
Well, it's true. 10 years is a long time in podcasting years.
That's awesome.
And I think about like the next 10 years and what it brings and what's happening and goals and all that. Do you have any goals? Or like for me, it's like day to day, my goal is just stay in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Somehow make it through, survive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
sure.
Keep on keeping on.
Uh-huh.
So my goals aren't that lofty. I just want to be able to do what I'm doing and exist.
Well, I think that, don't they say you need to be more specific? Maybe for me, I haven't been specific enough, but my goal has always been to take care of my friends and family doing something I love doing. That's as simple as I can make it.
I love that.
But I think I need to be more specific. I don't know.
I don't know what to say to the universe.
Saying.
I know what you're saying. Like, in other words, like if you ask me for real, I would say, okay, well, I want Story Smash to be on, obviously. on national television. It should be an ABC show. It's a slam dunk to me. Totally. That's story smash. That should be a done deal, and that should get done.
Uh-huh.
And then also story worthy. To me, it should be a late night show. It's a done deal. It's 11 o'clock, and you turn on the show, and I introduce the show, and Mark Fernandez tells the story, and I chat with Mark Fernandez, and we wrap it up at 11:30. I mean, like, to me, those write themselves. It seems very obvious, and those are my goals.
Right.
But in addition, like, I'm trying to stay, like, in shape. Or, like, I'm trying to stay healthy. I'm trying to keep my kid happy.
Right. I mean, we're at that age, right?
So there's different, I guess that's what I'm saying. There's different levels of goals. Yes, sure. Of course, I have lofty goals that I think that are not actually lofty at all. I think they're quite accessible. And it's just a matter of somebody seeing these shows or this talent or whatever. But then there's also the very, very basic goals I have for just being, like, not stressed out. You know what I mean? Like, just kind of be present.
Do you meditate?
I meditate all the time.
Me too. I just started doing that.
I love meditating. Yeah. The thing with meditating is, for me, is like, usually I end up falling asleep.
That's what I do. Is it meditating or napping?
I think I'm doing the right thing. I think if you fall asleep, you are doing the right thing.
Is that right? Okay, good.
I think if you fall asleep meditating, you win.
Okay. I'm a winner. Because I fall asleep every time.
I do too. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Any other tips? Anything we should know? Anything? Any lofty
persevere.
Aspiration?
Persevere. All I can say is persevere.
Stick-to-itiveness.
You're doing it, and I'm doing it.
You're doing it.
And we're gonna do it. We're gonna kick 2020's ass.
Let's play more pickleball in the new year.
That's another thing too. You talk about being in shape. Pickleball is something that we just kind of. Discovered. It's a great fun sport, something we can do. We can get out there moving.
It's an awesome sport.
Yeah.
And especially here in Southern California, we're so lucky to be able to play, you know, outside so many days a year. Look into it, you guys. If you don't know what pickleball is, look into it.
Yeah.
And then you just got to dink it, man. Just dink it. You heard me.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for joining Storyworthy today. This was a great story, Mark Fernandez.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. Don't forget to find Mark Fernandez over there on Twitter at Fernagio and join me over there as well at Storyworthy. And listen, folks, really. What can I say, man? It's the end of a decade, the end of an entire era of Storyworthy. And I want to thank you so much for tuning in every week, you guys. I appreciate it so much. And all the comments I get and the emails I get, it like makes me feel so good. It always makes my day. And one more time, on behalf of the very talented Mark Fernandez, thank you so much.
Thank you. Here's to the next 10 years of Storyworthy.
Woo! My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a Storyworthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.